and Equatio Mobile. So now you can see that it knows that that's called Equatio Demo. It says the last time it was open. And here, this Equatio, that's my Google form. So that's where, if I want to respond to the form, I can use this one. So if I click on that, it'll say like, okay, now it's kind of like the extension of my cursor. So here, this is where the problem is open. And this is where I can respond. So with Equatio, so it's much easier to show you in the URL in this window, but it works better for the picture if it's like a phone with a back-facing camera. So here, what I can do is I can have three options. I can use handwriting, I can use speech, or I can take a picture. So I have a touchscreen Chromebook. You might not have a touchscreen. Maybe you have a Mac, which is not touchscreen. But you probably have a touch device, whether it's an iPad or an iPhone or an Android phone, something that is a touch device somewhere. And your students might as well. They might have a touch device, but not a touchscreen Chromebook. So that's where you can do this, where you can leverage it. You can just click on the handwriting icon, and then you could do that same bit. So you could say like 3x equals 24, x equals 8. And you could put in a sketch there, like, I don't know, you could say something like x equals 8. I should have done a number line, but that's all right. We'll just say that we put that in there. And so I can then submit that if I want. I click on the button and I can do save as an image or save as math. So if I save as image, then I click on, it makes this save and I do this little upload button. So now what it's going to do is it's going to go through the inner tube and it'll go back and it will put that in as my answer. So I can submit a picture, a sketch of a picture that I had right there. So I could use my phone to sketch something or my touch device. On top of that as well, if I wanted to do that same bit, I needed to have it open. So notice I opened it again. So now you can see that I have the option in my Equatio Mobile and I can take a picture. So one of the things I could do is I can take a picture. I'll pop in here and you'll probably see me. It's kind of hard to do this type of device because I have to, it gets in the way. You can see me kind of looking there. It's also late. I'm over in Ireland, so it's like almost 2 a.m. So I can take a picture there and I can save that as an image and I can submit that. So you can write some stuff on a whiteboard or write on a piece of paper and you can take a picture and it's digitized. So that's awesome because then you could submit that. So I love that, to bring that physical into the digital. On top of that, I'll show one last bit on there. So there's two options once I take that picture. So once I take that picture on there, I can save it as an image or I can save it as math. So this, I think it's magical that if I click the save as the math, then it'll try to figure out what that math is. It's like, hey, is that the math that you wanted? I'm like, yeah, that's the math I want. And so I could submit that. And what is the benefit there? Now that can be auto graded. But on top of that, let's say I can, as a teacher, I can see all those responses come in. I can see all those students. And as they're in my summary, I can see, what are all those answers? How do they come in? I can see them all in a glance. That's really great. That's what I was anticipating. I'm going to jump back over here to the Google Doc as well and say, show you that power of that Equatio Mobile. So if I use the Google Doc for that and take the picture, that's great for, there might be some things that aren't typed, but it's even better for my pictures. If I do that and I save that as the image and I fire that in my doc, it's just a great little image that goes into my document. So I can then put that sketch down or something else that doesn't need to be typed. I can just drop that into my Google Doc. But the cool part is that can be editable. So this last bit is a screenshot reader. So here I'm in a Google Doc and I can say like, oh, what is that math? I can just screenshot that. And then the screenshot reader will tell me what that math is underneath of there. So I'm not sure if you could hear that, but the first thing it did was read that all aloud. So I can just play that again. And so that's a great way for those students that require that accessibility. It took something that was not accessible and made it accessible, but also it took something that was not editable. I mean, that was a piece of paper that I had taken a picture from. And now I can actually edit that. So I can just drop that in. And once it recognizes it, one of the options is I can copy the LaTeX, copy the MathML, or edit with Equatio. So Equatio takes LaTeX. Anywhere you copy that LaTeX, you can drop it into Equatio. On top of that, the MathML, if I copy MathML, I can actually go into Microsoft Word and just paste that in there and it'll paste as a Microsoft equation type, for most people. So that's really cool where I could copy that and then paste that into Word. But if I do edit with Equatio, it's going to bring that into my bar for me to edit. So that is like super sweet where I just had that handwritten on a piece of paper and now it's typed that and it's editable. And then I can work from there. So Equatio has a couple other options. So one of them with our prediction is this multiple lines. And so if I hit shift enter, it'll drop down and give me another line to work with. That's cool. I hardly ever use that though, because if I do shift control enter, and those are in these, let me just copy this. So when I get rid of it, I can paste it back in. So when I delete, when I open up, we have these little tips, these text helper things that say, did you know if you hit control shift enter, you could duplicate your current equation to a new line. And those change every time. So if I jump back there, it says you've got access to prediction. So those are all like rotating through. You might notice there's a new thing if you haven't used Equatio in the past few weeks. This little graduation cap also has some in-app help. So it tells you how can you create a cube root. You can use prediction or you can type LaTeX. That's why we don't like typing LaTeX. It's really cumbersome for students to learn, especially if they're learning a topic. But so those are different ways that you can interact with getting help. And that will just change. If I keep rotating through, it'll give me something else. It says, do you want to create multiple lines? There you go. This is how you do it. Hit shift enter to add another line of work. If you want to left align, you can align them by equal sign. It'll show you how to do that. So you just need to create a new column and then you can do that. So we can align in a variety of ways. And we'll be making those more and more intuitive over the coming months. But let's go back to that problem I was solving. So if I had that 3x minus 10 equals 14. If I shift control enter, it just copies it down. Like so many of my students, A, will copy the problem down wrong. So they don't make math errors, they make transcription errors. And but here, they also will copy down from one step to the next and make mistakes or skip steps because it's cumbersome. So we can leverage technology here. So I could have them say, well, what are you gonna do next? They would say, well, I'm gonna add 10. And so they can do that plus 10 on each side. They can copy that and just paste it to both sides of the equation. And it's much easier for them than if they were going to write it on a piece of paper. They can just shift control to show me that intermediary step and say, that's what I'm going to do there. And then I'm going to do the 14 plus 10 and get 24. And I love this part where it's highlighted and I can replace that because I have a big poster in my class. I would say equality equals interchangeability. And I just kind of say, like, if two things are equal, they're replaceable. So 14 plus 10, if that's the same as 24, literally I can select and replace that physically. Like that is a direct, I think, mathematical component where they're replacing things versus if I was moving down from one line to the next, which is like transcribing, there's like a transference bit. I'm writing and transcribing and then replacing. So it's not as direct. And so I can just keep on moving. One of the things, like we have those same Desmos type things. If I hit the slash key, it puts that 24 in the numerator. I can also use some prediction, like I could say 24 over 3. Or another way I could do that with prediction is like out of 3. So there's some kind of non-mathematical terms. So students don't have to, they can respond more fluently like they would on top of that. Also, if I would select something, then I can select something and hit the slash and it puts what's selected in the numerator. And I'll show you a little Easter egg here that it's kind of an undocumented bit. And I'll tell you why it's undocumented. Some of you will be recoiling in horror, but let's say on this bit, if I have something selected, if I hit the slash key, it kind of goes into like Easter egg mode and it's going to do a command here. So if I do the cancel, this is why it's undocumented. And if I hit the tab key, it is actually going to cancel that bit out. So if I hit cancel, it will cancel it out. It'll reduce it out. I use cancel because that's the term there, but I don't think that is canceling. It's reducing. And so that's right there. I can then select that out and say, well, that's X. And drop that out, and I can say this is the same as 8. So for me, it's much more intuitive. I can get so many more steps out of my students if they're working like that, so they can go from one step to the next. Just since I'm showing some Easter egg bits, if you really wanted to, you can hop into LaTeX. I don't want you to, but if you wanted to even do some things where you could say, notice those cancel bits, you can even do like some slash color and then put things in braces and if you do that, then you can say that you can put those in like red and it'll change that bit. And so you can use some color aspects and hack into the LaTeX if you want. So those are fun ways to do that. So the same thing, if I wanted to, like, I can select this whole thing and I can say, put that inside of a square root and hit tab, it'll do that. So it's one of those things. We're going to make that more and more intuitive, but there are things you can do in there. So those are nice that you can do it. So I think we're kind of, how is that leveraging so your workflow? So the Google Forms bit, I think, is really great for being able to assess within here. And I can then use, I love Yet Another Mail Merge as an add-on. I can like automatically do stuff. There's Form Mule. So lots of great ways to leverage those digitally. I also think about giving feedback to students is a huge component in what I want to do with. And so some other ways that I can do that is I'm going to jump into the equation math space. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Fawn Wynn and visual patterns. So Fawn is a goddess in my eyes, but visual patterns is just a really great, amazing resource. And so one of the things that you could do is you can drop these into slides. So one of my favorite lessons to do is just drop this into a slide. And I tell my students to do a collaborative slide deck where I say, go ahead and solve this problem and take your own slide, you know, make a copy of that and work on it. And then I have all of my students' responses in one collaborative slide deck so I can see different students to work there. So that's really great. I'm not going to really hammer down the equation math space bit, but I want to talk because I want to leave some time for questions. But if I go to the equate.io, or which is just Equatio with a dot between the T and the I, it brings you this Equatio dashboard. And this is how I created that visual pattern. So essentially, it has a digital whiteboard with a bunch of virtual manipulatives, and I built it using this bit. And so you can, if you start off on your own, notice I have some tens frames and some algebra tiles. So essentially you can create like a template and then you can share that. So if you have co-teachers or you know you're gonna use those a lot, you can just create that and then always start off with that problem. And so here you can, I built this, I wouldn't say quite easily, but I just built it and with some of our manipulative tools here. But as I built it, it helped me think about what to do next. So like if I started here, I could say like, okay, well, you know, copy this and then make another copy of it. So I could take that one. And then how do I want to build the next one? I can literally even just say, well, go to previously and copy and then paste that over and then make those be next to each other and copy and take one of those. So you can literally like as you're building it, talk about, well, I took f of n minus 1 plus f of n minus 2, and that's how I made this one. So you can do literally like a recursive process, and then I can say, oh, I can take this one, and I'm going to take that, and I could just add one to them. So I could show that bit on how I'm, as I'm building it, it develops that visual connection to the mathematical component. And you can go ahead and bring that in, and they can talk about all those different ways that they did that, or that they take a square and then bring it out. So within there, there's also like a freehand drawing. So they could say like, oh, it's this bit and then this bit. So when I'm adding the next one, I'm going to take the previous one and add those in and do all those kind of fun things and they can share it. But one of the things you can do is you can download this as a PNG. And then it just takes that picture and you can take that picture and put it anywhere. You can make a Google Form question. You could put it in the docs or slides, anywhere that you wanted to recreate those. And so that's what I had done there to drop it into slides, and I linked it so they can just pop open there and it goes to a new one. So I think that's really great. I'm going to hop over here for questions. I am just going to say that this is a Khan Academy video. I just pause it. If you use Equatio out there, it brings that screenshot reader, and then you can just have that be screenshotted, and then you can copy that LaTeX and drop it where you want or do the MathML. So it brings math that's not accessible, makes it accessible, and also makes it editable. And then we have a PDF reader where you can directly interact in a PDF and put math. Even if it wasn't accessible, we can make it editable and accessible. So let's jump over here and see if we have some questions. Let's see. So Pete asked about, can you use phrases like the quantity of X and 4 squared? I can just show you, I think the quantity part, it won't do that super great because it wants to have a closing component. So if I would do that from the speech and try to work on that, the quantity of 4 and x squared. So it didn't like that quantity bit. One of the things that we're going to work on for this school year is we're going to improve the speech capabilities a lot. So pretty soon, I shouldn't say pretty soon, because pretty soon what you'll be able to do is there's going to be a new button down here where you'll be able to launch a math space from here and then bring it back in and paste it, sort of like that Equatio mobile bit. That's the next thing you'll see in the next month. So that's another kind of Easter egg that you're hearing about here. But in the next couple sprints, we do a monthly sprint development we're going to improve the speech components to do much more from speech only. So currently, it won't put that parentheses around the quantity. And Donna asked about Canvas. It does. We have a Canvas integration that works out well. So if I do, so you can see if I, I'm not sure if I have to log in. We work directly within Canvas. And so we're also working on some other LMSs to see if they work. I don't know why it doesn't like my, a little bit. We have direct, it works directly in Canvas there. So you can do all that bits and no matter where the content editor is. So just to, I realized that I should probably just show you that. So if when I log in, wherever I have that rich content editor in Canvas, then I can utilize Equatio if I have it installed. So I love it in the quizzes component because I think it's great for if you're using SpeedGrader. So here, if I wanted to build my quiz in Canvas with my questions, each of these, so let's say this one, you can see there's a little Equatio icon where it will fire up Equatio and then you can insert the math that you create directly there. The same thing, like if you want to make a graph and say, what does this graph look like? X squared. And then it'll insert that. So you can take that content and plop it directly into your Canvas. You can see the math is there. It's also accessible. So that's a great bit for using it directly within Canvas. Anywhere you're doing that content editing, you can use the Equatio icon. And so devices. So I currently don't have students right now. So Peter, if I had students. So one of the things about devices though, so Equatio is a Chrome extension for the most part. We have an installable app for Mac and PCs, but if they have iPads only, the Chrome extensions don't work on iPads. So Apple doesn't let Chrome extensions run on the iOS yet. When I say yet, I don't know. I'm not optimistic that that will happen. I am somewhat optimistic of Equatio working more wholly in an iPad. It can work for that Equatio mobile bit, but you have to have it open somewhere else to fire it in. So we're considering how to do that work. So the Equatio symbol in Google Forms. So if you have Equatio installed and you have the premium component, so you can go to texthelp.com free for teachers and you can get it all for free. As a teacher, and then your students will need the premium components. So I'll talk a little bit about pricing because I saw the next one is about cost. So as I said, that there are some free. So I mentioned GMath before. So pretty much anything that was in GMath we talked about it being useful, reliable, and usable. It's free in Equatio. So if you don't have the premium bits and you fire up Equatio, you'll be able to type in things. You won't have the prediction. So if you type the squared bits, the prediction that's a premium thing. And one of the things like in Desmos to do multiple lines is a premium thing. You can do one equation as a free bit, but it's part of the premium. And then the handwriting recognition, you can do all the handwriting that you want, but if you only get two free inserts from handwriting per day. The speech input's all free. Equatio Mobile is a premium extension, and so is the screenshot reader. If you want to use LaTeX, go for it. That's all free. And the same thing as the handwriting, the shortcuts, like if I do three, like the caret. So if you have those math writing shortcuts that work, those keyboard shortcuts that work in every other, they're like standardized, those should work as well. And those are all kind of your free, and the palette buttons are free. Other integrations beyond Google Docs, though, are premium aspects. So you'll need those features for the premium. And the pricing is, it's $1 per kid on your domain. You could do a group of 150 or more, and it's like $100 a kid. Sorry, $10 a kid, or $100 if you just a single license. But we have a very, very small percentage of people buy at the single usage. Yeah, so how do I manage students? So that's a great work. So some of those workflow items and slides, great. You know, like one of the things that you could do is you can look at their version history and you could see who does that, who actually put that in. And that's a great way. So if you haven't used the Google environment or the G Suite, I like to have them, I show my students what they can do and let them play for 15 minutes and They'll type over top of each other. And I do show them like the version history to show that, hey, if you deleted somebody else's thing or you typed that curse word in there but deleted it, I can still go back and find it. So that's kind of like my thing of like, hey, I can find out what you did if you want to delete my stuff or if you want to be that person. So that's one thing that you could do. So the version history can show you who typed it. And the fact of like, if you're worried about somebody, not worried, but if they go and look at someone else's slide and then copy that work, like from looking at their slide, I think that's I am okay with that. Why am I okay with that? Well, maybe that student just needs that extra added benefit as not a crutch, but I think about the movie Finding Forrester, where he starts writing his book by copying somebody else's to kind of get in that flow. I think that's a classroom thing that as it becomes more and more of a safe space, they'll be more willing to move out of there. Or at me as a teacher, I get to see that student who may always wants to write down somebody else's bit. I think as like visual patterns is really great for that what do you wonder, what do you notice? Tell me about what's going on here. What's your way of thought process? How many ways can you do this? Can you do another? Can you do another? Can you think of one that hasn't been shown yet? That creates that mindset of maybe there isn't just one right answer. And maybe my method is that new way that the teacher hasn't seen yet. Cause I say, can you show me a way I haven't seen yet? And that might be what the student doesn't want to show. So I think that's more that could be a straight copying thing. And that's something that I am going to say, yes, that could be possible. But I think also it might be just a way that the student might be hesitant to show what they know, or maybe they don't know how to show what they know. And so that's where we can kind of move on there to kind of give some of that, the copying part. And I also, in my assessment bits, like I don't grade homework. I think homework is like a personal thing. I actually done assigned homework my last 2 years. I think it's a personal thing. I feel like we should do it in class. I don't want you to be practicing in an unsupported environment. That's a philosophical decision on my part. So I know that I'm not saying doing homework is bad. I just don't prefer to do that. So that's like another thing about like copying work. With the copying, if I'm trying to assess there that I don't might not want to create the environment where students benefit by copying. And so that also alleviates worry, I guess. But there is that, it's that same bit, even like if they have calculators and the technology, like what about cheating? Yeah, so that's something that we always have to take control of and talk about, like, how does that work in my classroom? If I'm doing the Google Forms bit, what about if cheating? What if somebody else submits it? Like they could if they had their login, but that's a whole nother digital citizenship piece. So that brings in other things that we talk about in other classes. I do know that this is one thing that I did not show is the whole chemistry bit, because maybe you teach some chemistry stuff just so you can go wow your chemistry people. If I start typing like some words in here that like sodium arsenate and hit enter, it brings in and does all that from the components there. And then we have even things like yields with heat and so solids. So we have a bunch of other things that makes no sense to me, which is okay. But I have one of my friends, Efren Rodriguez, teaches chemistry, and he's always like, hey, I'm going to do some like ion things. Can you put ions in the prediction? So those are feedback that I was just working with the teacher who said, I have a bunch of physics formulas I want to add in. Can you put them? And I'm like, yeah, send me a PDF of them and I can help build them in. So we really want to take control to help amplify teacher time. So that's really what I want to do is if you have feedback, please let me know. I want to help make your time more efficient. And I really, really appreciate having your time. And I forgot about the chat part. And so thank you so much for sharing your time with me. And if you have questions, hit me up on Twitter or anytime you're in Equatio in the little blue feedback box, click on the options box and do send feedback. It goes to a Google form and I try to respond within a day. I've been traveling a lot lately, so I haven't been doing a day, but that's one of the things that I do a lot is try to respond to those. So thank you for sharing your time and I really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. So it's after 7. I'm going to wait a couple more minutes to turn off the recording. Reminder that the recording will be available after a couple of hours. You can come back to the same URL you used to get in. We'll be back next Tuesday. I'm not sure who's presenting because I forgot to look at the schedule. But if you have any more questions, go ahead and pop them in the chat right now. I'm sure John will be happy to answer them. I do want to keep it a little short for him because he is definitely in a very different time zone from us. So it's super late for him.
Please, any questions, I would love to answer them.
So if you have anything to ask, pop it in that chat window before you sign out. Ooh, thanks. Lee mentioned that it's what's going on in this graph next week. So next Tuesday, same time, it's 6 o'clock Pacific time or 9 o'clock Eastern time. Ooh, Jamie, I'm glad this was your first webinar. This was a good one to attend.
Ooh, what is the raising hand? How does that work?
Yeah.
Cassandra said she's raising her hand.
Where does that show up?
Maybe she's just trying to high-five me.
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
She's like, I have a question, calling me. I forgot to put my Twitter handle in there.
I put it in the very beginning.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, Annie is in there? I didn't know that Annie is in there. Now I really, I was glad I talked about noticing and wondering. She is a notice wonder woman. I am envious of people who get to meet with her in real time. There's so many things I didn't talk about the global math department. I really appreciate all the people that are interacting in my PLN digitally. Like I have worked at some school, amazing schools. I actually worked with Pete Horsch in Colorado. He is awesome. Yeah. But I've worked with so many people around the world, and sometimes I've worked with some amazing teachers that taught in different ways than I did. I'm like, oh, you're awesome, but I can't take any bits of what you do. I can, you know, take some of those aspects, but that's not like me as my default. So I try to add bits, and the math Twitter blogosphere and so many people online really saved me as a teacher by letting me be innovative. And so I'm so thankful to interact with them in real life, and even people I've never met that are really have a huge impact on me as a teacher. So it's so awesome.
Very cool. Okay, well, I'm going to say it looks like everyone's got their questions answered, and I do want to be respectful of your time. That was amazing. I'm going to have to watch it again, though, because I'm like, wow, this was my poor little head was blown. So I'm like, I'm going to have to watch this so I can process it a little slower for me, because that was so much amazing stuff. So thank you so much.
Thanks. I do know that it's like drinking.